With over four decades of experience, Sitel is considered an industry leader in quantitative methods, biometric solutions, and best practices in adaptive clinical trial design. Sitel's latest innovation, the East Horizon platform, is a fully cloud-native software solution, consolidating Sitel's various statistical products in a single comprehensive workbench. With integrated open source capabilities, advanced cloud computing resources, and cutting-edge AI tools, the East Horizon platform is a modern solution for evolving industry demands. Big thank you to our sponsor, Sitel, for supporting the May episode of Practical Significance.
Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Associate Executive Director, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Well, welcome everyone to the May episode of Practical Significance. We hope you are celebrating spring as we are. And we are super excited to have three really special guests with us. I hope that many of you have seen the Telling Our Stories video. Just to make sure that everyone understands, we have this wonderful Telling Our Stories video project that we are so grateful to Nan Laird for giving a generous donation. And the spirit of Telling Our Stories is to highlight statisticians who are doing incredibly interesting work. And today we are going to have a behind the scenes conversation. So we have the videographers and one of the storytellers with us. So Dimitri, Anna, and Rob are joining us. And we're going to start by asking them to do a little bit of introduction. Dimitri and Anna, if you want to say a little bit about how you became videographers, that'd be great to hear about. And Rob, you have so many interesting stories to tell, so I'm just going to ask you to pick one. And we'll actually start with you, Rob.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be on again. I'm delighted to be able to talk just about anything. I will introduce myself as the former director of the U.S. Census Bureau, which, by the way, I resigned on Valentine's Day, February 14th of 2025, as a gift to my wife so I could come back to her and we could actually spend some time, given that we've been together for 51 years and missed each other terribly. So before I was director, I had a 40 plus year career in statistics and public policy analysis. I've got lots of interesting stories, some of which I had the benefit of Dimitri and Anna listening to, as I told them during our little Telling Our Stories event. I won't tell any now. I'm sure some will come out during the course of our conversation. So I will leave it at that and just say I am part of the American Statistical Association family, and I am here to serve.
Thanks, Rob. And Anna and Dimitri, we'll turn to you. Anna, you want to start?
It's very nice to meet everyone. My name is Anna, and together with my partner, Dimitri, we own a video production studio. It's a small boutique video production studio, which is focused on working with educational and scientific organizations. That's the part of the story that Dimitri would tell why we chose this narrow but very interesting path.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dimitri. Our story started long ago because in my previous life, I was an associate professor at St. Petersburg or Leningrad State University. So I had a gap year and I traveled across the world and I had this idea of making some documentaries about like unbeaten parts of the world, like conveying genius loci or genius loci. So different pronunciations, but I would prefer the first one, like which comes from Latin. So it's about people in different locations and telling their stories. So when I came back to the university, I just decided to completely change my path. So we came here and we started our small studio, and now we work with educational organizations and scientific organizations, and we enjoy it because it's like still academia, so something that I feel very comfortable with.
Yeah, telling people's stories and also touching on some broader and more interesting topic within their stories, which is very exciting.
A brief story. I did my research, I did my PhD on Henry Miller and Western European avant-garde. And Henry Miller is an American writer. So Tropic of Cancer, Tropic of Capricorn. I used to do like in my
Okay.
previous
Yeah,
life, right?
that's a funny turn because we are both from humanities. We are both like come from literature, history of arts kind of thing. And now what we do, we mostly work with mathematicians, statisticians, and computer scientists. And we need to kind of dig into these topics. Interesting.
Right. So it's good.
And you've been our partners from the beginning. And so you helped us tell Rob's story. And I'm curious, what was the most challenging aspect of capturing Rob's story on video?
Actually, this is a very good question, very tough question, because everything related to Rob and ASA was
So easy.
so easy that it's so difficult to find some real challenges, right? But the only challenge was pre-production, to navigate with all this bureaucracy, but like red tape, to get access to Rob and to write hundreds of emails to the team and just
It was more
the
challenging before we met Rob and after we met Rob. So it was pre-productions we before we met and post-production, try to like piece together everything and like in the most interesting way because it was a lot Rob told us and finding this bites that would fit together and make the story interesting and engaging.
I totally feel your pain on the government red tape. I lived it for 3 years.
So, Rob, that's a perfect segue. We wanted to ask for your perspective on what the most challenging aspect was of being the subject for this video.
Well, it's interesting. Thanks for asking the question. I have a similar response to Dimitri and Anna. It was very natural and easy for me because it occurred 3 years into my tenure. Had we done this in the first months, probably would have been more difficult because I needed to learn how to become comfortable and be more of myself in these types of settings. I don't know if you guys know this story, but my very first media interview after being director was with NPR and good old Hansi, who's received an award for his scientific journalism. And it was supposed to be of, hey, Rob, you're the first Latino, director. What do you think? Tell me your story, that type of thing. And he came out blasting with both shotguns, as any good journalist should. And I wasn't quite prepared for it. So he started asking really tough questions, and I ended up making a misstatement. And so unfortunately, he had to retract his story, and I had to say I made a misstatement because I was so nervous. And even in the recording, that if I recall hearing it, I did a lot of ums and stuttering and stuff like that. I knew that I could do this, I just needed more practice. And so as soon as it was over, I told all the media people at Census, give me more media interviews immediately. I want more. And over time, as everyone found out, if you practice, you get better. And by the time 3 years was up, I'd traveled with 30 states, met with all different types of folks. And so it was really natural. And also, I was giving everybody the message, just be yourself. I had to ingest that for myself. So my challenges to this actually were resolved in my first years as director.
Well, it was certainly a lot of fun for Ron and I to be there and watch the process and hear you tell your stories.
One of the things that made it easier was the presentation and demeanor and chemistry with Anna, Dimitri, and myself and you guys. As you've listened so far in the podcast, you will tell there's a bit of banter between Dimitri and Anna that is so energizing and so inviting. It made it so easy to get into and start telling stories and talking to them back and forth. It was just a pleasure. So thank you guys.
So, Dimitri and Anna, can you give us a little bit of the behind the scenes? You alluded previously about how you prepare to make this video and other videos, and then also some insights into your creative choices, right? You all did talk with Rob for a very long time, and then you were able to tell this wonderful story in less than 10 minutes, which is just fantastic. And by the way, we will link to the video in the show notes so that folks who have not seen it yet will know what we're talking about. But yeah, tell us a little bit about the prep and then the creative choices that you make in post-production.
We are very happy to work with the ASA, with American Statistical Association. It's such an amazing collaboration because we have this freedom. They give us this room for experiment and for making creative choices that we would like to make, because I think it's the most important part of the work is we ourselves having fun and experimenting and trying new things and ideas, and having this opportunity is great to tell these kind of stories. What we don't like to do is, we don't like making cookie cutters, which sometimes when you work as a studio, you have to do because you have some certain instructions or limited time. And we really like to feel the story, have this room for thinking how we can make it in a more interesting way. And having this opportunity in this project is really good. In terms of preparing, our approach is we start thinking and visualizing things after the interview because we feel the energy of a person we are talking with. We feel like what is important for him or for her, kind of feel the dynamic, feel the nuances. And after that, we start figuring out what is the best way to put things together. So, and here comes two things which were important for this particular video. Is how to make a storyline out of a lot of stories and interesting things that Rob was talking about, and how to organize it stylistically, like how to visualize things. That took some time.
Because our goal in this video was to show how statistics directly impact public services, like making the story relevant to every US citizen. I mean, like, regardless of race, gender, or political views. So that was the core thing that we wanted to convey in this video. So that is why we decided to focus on two key projects in the video, like the 9/11 project, when Rob talks about interviews with survivors to conduct a research on safety measures, right? And the second thing was the Census Bureau's Community Resilience Estimates. So a project that measures social vulnerability in US neighborhoods to assess disaster preparedness.
Because it relates to everyone, it touches everyone. You know, disasters happens, and the 9/11 project also, everyone knows about it. So these projects shows the importance of statistics in public service, but also touches everyone in a subtle way. So we thought that was an important thing, but also highlighting some major general ideas about the surveys, because we knew that Rob had a background in survey methodology. We somehow wanted to convey that in the video, like kind of like as a background story, but somehow mention it. So some interesting, intriguing aspects of surveys.
And to make this story personal, we also wanted to highlight Rob's values, like ensuring diverse voices are represented in research and statistics.
We tried to make this video not about the Census Bureau, but we tried to make this video about Rob and him as a statistician, but also some broader perspective on statistics and what statistics is doing in public service, why it is interesting, why it is relevant to everyone. So this was the like brainstorming how to put this together and make it feature everything, but in a short and concise way. That was one thing. And another thing was how to illustrate it, like how to make the video visually interesting.
The initial idea of the overall style of the video was to reflect the tension in the current social and political climates, echoing the uncertainty and challenges of what's going on of our time, right? But then we thought
No, that's a
no,
fun
that's not that,
perspective.
that's the wrong perspective.
We
It's like,
need to focus on the resilience and that the science, the research, the work is continuing and people continue work and everything is like we need to stay.
Advanced research need to move forward, right?
Yeah.
So stylistically, we decided to find this bold, a bit slightly grunge, visually striking theme for introductions.
The outcome is excellent, and I'm eager for our podcast listeners to see the video. One measure of it for me, now having watched it at least 10 times, the video is under 10 minutes long, and it always seems shorter than that. In fact, the more I've watched it, the shorter it actually seems because it's like, oh, this is really good and actually makes me want to know more. So that's fantastic. And Rob, when you were at the Census Bureau, I heard you on podcasts and on interviews and every manner of discussion where you had the opportunity to talk about the Bureau, certainly, but also about yourself to a large extent. And now you were filmed telling your story. And I wondered if that has affected your perspective on the story that you tell in any way.
Honestly, I'm sorry it didn't. Because I've tried so hard to lead by example. And my leadership at the Bureau and my offering to the public has truly been to emphasize the high value of bringing all of your whole self into whatever you do. That includes your culture, your values, your life experiences, and your technical training. I can rattle them off because I sit just in about every media interview that I've ever done. And showing that I was able to do that anytime I'm videoed or interviewed, I think helps drill down the value of doing it and showing people that it's relatively easy. It's actually liberating to stop pretending to be somebody else and simply being yourself the best you can be. That's what I've been trying to do this whole time.
Rob, that's great. And that partially to maybe entirely answers the next question that I have for the three of you. So I'll throw it to you first, Rob. So you have an approach to storytelling, and do you feel like, I gather from what you just said, that your being involved in this project cemented your ideas about storytelling as a way to communicate important messages about values and about statistics and so on? Would you say that that analysis is correct?
It is, and it illustrates something sort of behind the scenes that I've been trying to do for the 3 years that I was director, and even when I was ASA president. And that was develop a storytelling style that allows anyone, regardless of the level of sophistication of statistics or mathematics, or not, you can have none and still get something out of what's being said. So I forcefully trained myself through storytelling to refrain from as many technical words as possible and explain them in everyday language so that I actually would pretend that my middle school granddaughter was listening and I was trying to explain things to her. I also would speak simultaneously to different audiences. So, on the one hand, there is the audience that's in front of me. So, for JSM, I talked about leadership and things of that sort for my president invited address. But at the same time, every word I said was actually also being addressed to all of the career staff at the Census Bureau. And it was also being addressed to all of my fellow colleagues at ASA who couldn't be at JSM, who are early or mid-career folks. And it was also being said to the grad students of the world. So I have tried to embed that level of complexity through simple storytelling so that when people listen, it resonates with them. Like they say, yes, I get it. I totally understand. And that's why in one of my social media reports, I had an open letter to the Census Bureau staff. I let the cat out of the bag and I said, listen, I have something to tell you. Every public speaking engagement that I ever did. I also meant it for you to go back and check out anything. And once you see it, you will understand that it was meant for you as well.
Rob, that's terrific. In all those things that I've heard you do over the years, and especially in this video, your sincerity and your care for people really resonate through what you say. So I'm going to turn to our two storytellers here, professional storytellers, I should say, Dimitri and Anna, and ask you what ways this project might have influenced your approach to future storytelling, especially since you are going to help us tell a few more stories over the years.
Yeah, thank you for this question. I think this project was very interesting because Rob has such a strong personality that he brings full himself to work, and this idea helped this video to be more personal. And this is, I think, the most important but challenging thing to balance a personal story, an individual, and his personal traits and his ideas and beliefs with a broader topic, with some important facts or general facts about statistics or any other topic, larger ideas. So, how to combine this abstract concept or complex topics and how to make them feel personal through someone's story, how to make them feel emotionally engaging to the audience.
How to make them resonate through a human's perspective.
And I think in this project, in particular with Rob, it was easy because some of the ideas he explicitly pronounced resonating with this, and it was easy to intervene them into the storyline. And him talking about some general things about surveys or about his work in the Census Bureau, but also like he's bringing himself to every topic he's talking about. That was easy. But I think for future, keeping this balance.
Yeah, between personal story and
Broader topic or
broader
larger
topic
ideas.
like statistics, and we have so many ideas. It would be so interesting to make some projects about statistics in business, or statistics in medicine, or statistics in
Biology.
biology. Like, I think it could be very interesting. And again, it is something very human related.
Well, I will say that after Ron had asked me about participating in this project, I went back and looked at Marie Cuellar's first telling her story. And I went, wow, how can anyone top that? I just thought that that was brilliant and amazing. So, and I think her own storytelling, as well as how you were able to put that onto video and tell that story, just came together so well that I didn't know if I was going to have much of a story to tell that could ever come close to that wonderful work that you did. You care so much, just like I care about statistics and helping people. You care so much about the storytelling and helping people that you find these innovative, creative ways to bring people and who they are into the technical aspects of what they do in the way that's really going to resonate with a broad audience. So you don't give yourself enough credit, but that's okay. That's what Ron and I are here to do.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
Well, we have a traditional ending question, but I think before I ask that, Rob, I got to put you on the spot a little bit.
ask me
All of
anything.
this, ask me anything. You told me I could. So here we go. If all the storytelling that you've had to do in your professional roles as the director of the census and before that at the Urban Institute, I also know that you're a photographer, and one of the places where you take pictures is South by Southwest, I mean, other places as well. So, how does your approach to telling the stories in your professional life influence the way you try to tell stories with your photography?
That's a wonderful question. Actually, it is the other way around.
Okay, that's great.
I started being a photographer in 2009, and I ended up joining the South by Southwest photo crew in 2012, and then was continuously with them up until the time I was nominated to be a director of the census. And the process of not just learning the technical aspects, but more importantly, learning the storytelling and the sort of journalistic, it's here it is, but it's not just snapping a picture of something, it's capturing a moment that tells you something that's visceral, that has emotion, that speaks to anyone that looks at it. And then working with all of these creative souls who were incredibly passionate about what they were doing, so passionate that they would bag groceries just, as a side job to pay rent, just so they could continue their work in photography. That got seeped into my soul. And I took the storytelling aspect of photography and found that I could transfer it and embed it and integrate it into any project that I did in statistics and any design that I did. So in terms of consultation, I'd do the so what thing. You'd say, we want to know this about that. And I'd say, well, so what if you know it? Tell me the story. How is it going to help? And what if it doesn't? And this and that. And at the end aspect, here are the findings. Well, so what? Like, what does that tell you? But this whole notion of that sort of this creative process and using that to trigger new insights using your whole self, your culture, your values, life experiences, etc. It was photography that allowed me to discover how easy and effective it was to be a storyteller in statistics. And I've done different talks all over, and I've tried to tell that story and get folks to engage. Like, don't just be the best statistician in the world, be the best statistician and go and, do something artistic so that those other experiences, you will allow that to influence and bolster your ability to create new designs and insights and analyses and ask the so what questions.
Thanks. That's great. All right. Well, this is a pretty self-serving question for me because every time I talk with Rob or Anna or Dimitri, something else comes onto my to-be-read list or to watch. Slow horses, I'm already on that. So you have to share something else. Anna, I'll start with you. What are you reading, listening to, watching? Anything that you would like to share with me and our audience?
This question, yeah, we do everything together, so it will be like a thing to both of us. We even read books
Sometimes.
sometimes out loud before going to bed. So I like
It's
it. Sometimes
interesting. Nobody does it like that. It's kind of know-how. So the book we were
instantly.
reading, yeah. So the book is by Lauren Stern, A Sentimental Journey Through France and Italy. And it was written in 1768
1768.
or. Yeah, sometimes we watch different TV shows. For example, The Severance, right? We've just finished watching The Severance, and I really enjoyed how the frame was structured, how all these technical details, and it was very interesting and I think like inspiring. But our favorite TV show,
Oh, there
like of
is.
the recent decade, I would say, it is Better Call Saul. I think that the acting is great and the story, the plot is high level through the whole season. And I like this approach of the directors there, of the producers of the TV show, because they were asked, so why don't you keep it going? Why not? It's so
Successful, yeah.
successful, whatever. And they say, we told the story and that's it. And this is the end of the story. Why should we just milk it? So the music, I enjoy prog rock. I like King Crimson or Pink Floyd or Soft Machine. It's kind of a bit old, but the band I'm listening right now in the car, I would say it's John Zorn. It's something interesting. It's something that's thought-provoking. But of course, old bands like Rolling Stones. We went with my mom to the concert in California last summer. So that's
Yeah.
it.
I'm fond of fun music. I love Mango Jerry. I love Sparks. I love Talking Heads. All this like kind of music. It's funny and it's like the texts are interesting. It's like playful. It's also like a little bit of experiment within the music. This is kind of things I
Lots of
enjoy.
experience, I
Yeah,
would
I
say.
enjoy it a lot. And we are big fans of Monty Python. This is like frozen in time. It's not current thing, but this is something we keep rewatching.
That's wonderful. So, Rob, what about you? What's on your reading, watching, listening list?
Actually, there isn't much. I hope this doesn't disappoint you. but I really don't read much at all. A couple of years ago, I was asked, well, which of our founding forefathers would you like to model yourself on based on their biographies and stuff? And I said, none of them. I want to be me, type of thing. And even in 2021, when I was president of ASA, I was going to come up with my address, right? And other past presidents and friends would say, you got to go back and read all the previous presidential addresses so that you can get some inspiration for yours. And that is just not me. I actually want to stay away from things that might unduly influence me so I can come up with something that's genuinely my own. And I've made a conscious effort to do that. So that might be a little scary to someone. Please, everybody has their own style. I chose to rely on my inner self and my creative capacity to bring material to whatever task lies ahead of me. And in fact, it goes hand in hand with the commencement speech that I have given a number of times to the kiddos, because I tell them, again, I'm trying to lead by example here. I tell them everything you need to become successful is already inside of you. All you have to do is learn how to let it out. Now, for me, that means just relying on yourself and hunkering down and becoming creative, getting into that space, and then coming up with the story that not only inspires you, but is a story that you feel really good about in terms of what you're leaving the audience with. That's pretty much what I do. I do watch TV and I do listen to music, but it's for pure enjoyment. It's not for learning anything or doing stuff like that. It's just for hanging out.
Well, we are grateful to all of you for being willing to share your stories with us and to have this wonderful conversation. So, thank you very much. And now, the other tradition of practical significance is Ron's top 10. So, I'll turn it over to my colleague, Ron.
Thanks, Donna. I had the wonderful opportunity in late March to attend the Conference of Texas Statisticians, where they invited me to be the MC for their awards dinner. In honor of the occasion, I shared my top 10 signs that you are a Texas statistician, and so I thought I would share it with all of you as well. So here we go. Here are the top 10 signs you are a Texas statistician. Number 10, you carry your laptop in a custom-made saddlebag. Number 9, you refer to outliers as all hat, no data. Number 8, you don't just write code, you write algorithms. Yeah, you're welcome for that. Number 7, your discrete CDFs are two-step functions. Number 6, you don't say it is about to storm, you say it is fixin' to be significant round here. Number 5, your Markov chains may go into various states, but they never mess with Texas. Number 4, you can data wrangle on horseback. Number 3, you don't say the model isn't converging. You say, Houston, we have a problem. Number 2, you actually brag about how wide your confidence intervals are. And the number one sign you are a Texas statistician, you don't just reject the null hypothesis, you tell it to get out of town before sundown. Well, that's it for this episode of Practical Significance. We look forward to continuing the conversation next month.
We are Sitel. We are the world's leading data science CRO, with global experts in trial design, biostatistics, analytical methods, evidence, value, and access, positioned on every continent. Our services and software support your drug development through consultation and customized partnerships, illuminating your therapeutic journey through every phase, for every patient, advancing the future of human health. Sitel. Your success, our methods.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from AmStat News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.